Going on, everybody? This is J.R. Reynolds here from ReynoldsRoto.com. We are on the eve of the week one main slate. We have a bunch of slates to play tomorrow between DraftKings, FanDuel, and Fantasy Draft. Right now, I'm going to be focusing mainly on DraftKings. The other member of Reynolds Roto, Luke Reynolds, is going to be posting a little video clip later on tonight outlining his plays for FanDuel. So be on the lookout for that. But like I said, right now, I'm going to be focusing mainly on DraftKings. So a couple things I wanted to hit on before we got into the positional breakdown. If you're new to the game here, the main thing you really want to focus on when making your lineups is finding mispriced roles and volume. That's the name of the game, guys. You know, a couple guys we're going to hit on later on, a couple guys I can think of the top of my head would be guys like Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook. There's really nobody else in those backfields. They're priced all the way down at 61 and 6,000 respectively. And you're just not going to find many people with that type of role at that price. Now, given that it's pretty early in the season, the pricing is a bit loose. So I'm sure we'll see their prices adjusted as the weeks go on. But they're just two examples I can think of right off the bat. Also, in terms of strategy, usually paying down at quarterback, tight end, and defense is generally the way we want to go and attack the slate. But the loose week one pricing, like I said earlier, allows a little bit of wiggle room, and you can kind of get creative. Everybody's kind of a value this week, just from what I'm looking at right now. And I really think a lot of people are in play that usually wouldn't be, just given the loose pricing. All right, guys. So first I'm going to start at quarterback. Top price quarterback this week on DraftKings is Patrick Mahomes at 7,200. Mahomes and the Chiefs go on the road against Jacksonville. I do have respect for this Jacksonville defense, and I'm kind of a little bit bullish on Jacksonville here in the early going. I think they're going to be pretty solid to start the year. Kansas City's defense is still lax. I mean, obviously their offense makes up for that, with guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They also added Shady a week ago, but I'm sure you're aware of that. And obviously they can go into Jacksonville and win that game. But I'm just not really, you know, keen on paying up for Mahomes all the way here this week, especially in cash games. A couple guys, one tick below him since Andrew Luck is out. Jameis Winston. Love Winston here on this slate, 6,600 on DraftKings. I just think, you know, Tampa Bay is going to have to do everything they can to stay in this game, and that's going to be directly correlated to the passing game. They really have no semblance of a running game whatsoever. I mean, they have Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones, and if you paid attention to the preseason, Dare Ogunbowale also is in the mix. He should be taking over that backfield, I'm sure. As the weeks go along, I think they're going to give him a larger role. But right now, I mean, they're going to lean so heavily on their passing game. If Winston didn't get 40 attempts here, I'd be pretty surprised. I think he could easily push that. Dropping down a little bit here into the 5K range, you got guys like Dak Prescott, Jimmy Garoppolo, Carson Wentz, Kyler Murray. Guys like Prescott and Murray, they really give you that rushing upside. They definitely can. I fully expect Murray to be chalky at 5,600 here. Garoppolo in that Tampa Bay San Fran game that we kind of touched on a couple minutes ago. I think Garoppolo can shred up that Tampa Bay defense. I mean, think what you want about his preseason performance or his camp performance. I think he'll do just fine here. Wentz seems to be another guy who's pretty chalky. You know, 5,700 just seems way too low. Home game versus Washington. I fully expect the Eagles to be in the mix for the Super Bowl this season. And Washington really is just nothing special talent-wise when it comes to playing this Eagles team. There is one guy that I kind of been really, you know, starting with at the top of my lineups. That's all the way down here at 5,300 with Nick Foles. Like I said, I think this Jacksonville team is going to be much improved. They really, you know, should be leaning on the passing game here. And I think it's a world upgrade over Bortles for Foles here. And it is worth noting that John DeFilippo, Foles' old offensive coordinator, is also the coordinator in Jacksonville now. So I fully expect Foles to be comfortable in that offense. And I think he shouldn't have a problem with the KC defense, especially at home. All right, guys, we're going to move down to running back here. Guys, Zeke is the top price guy at 9,200. I think usually on this type of slate, we'd be talking about him as one guy we're going to plug in, you know, home matchup versus New York Giants. But with the contract situation, I know he's signed and he's ready to go for this season, signed, sealed, delivered. Kind of puts a wrench in the whole Tony Pollard experiment. But Pollard could see minimal work here. I don't really think I want to pay all the way up for Zeke, though. I think report came out earlier this week talking about how they could play him 20 to 25 snaps. I fully expect them to. And, you know, don't get me wrong. If you want to play Zeke here, I think he's a great tournament play. He does have the upside. He's going to get goal line work. He's going to get the carries. He'll probably get some passing work as well. You know, I think he's a great tournament play if you think they're going to give him a full compliment there. But I'm just not going to force myself into that this week. Right below Zeke, you got Saquon Barkley on the other side of that game. Guys, you know, the Giants are, you know, terrible. Really not good whatsoever. Really lacking talent on the offensive side of the ball outside of guys like Saquon and Sterling Shepard. And even Golden Tate, if you want to include him. Guys, Barkley is going to get so much work this season, and I fully expect that to be beginning right here in week one against Dallas. With that said, I don't think I'm going to be pulling the trigger on him this week. But, you know, I have no problem if you want to do that. He's only 200 more than Christian McCaffrey, who I'm going to hit on right here at 8,800. He's out of those three top guys. I think he's my preferred play home matchup against the Rams. Rams defense doesn't really scare me at all. McCaffrey, again, kind of like we talked about earlier in the show, he's one of those guys who has that full workload. Receiving, running, has the goal line work. You know, at 8,800, I think he's just such a safe bet for like 15 touches easily. And definitely has, you know, so much more room for that. He's going to be on the field no matter what. All right, guys, moving down a little bit here into this sweet spot kind of we hit on earlier in the show, leading off with Leonard Fournette at 6,100. I think Fournette could be in for a kind of you know, a little bit of a renaissance year. You know, we saw what he could do earlier in his career, in his rookie season. They really, you know, gave him a lot of work. But I think, you know, he's kind of battled injuries here, and that Jaguars team just has been not great overall. But I think, you know, they kind of got some fresh faces down there in Jacksonville, like we said, and I think he could, you know, he could show us what he has one more time. No problem if he stays healthy. He's going to get a lot of touches. He'll probably get, you know, goal line work, obviously. And then I expect them to fully use him in the passing game. In the dress rehearsal game for Jacksonville, he actually saw, I believe, three targets from Nick Foles. So that's got to be pretty encouraging for his outlook during this season. Right below him, I fully expect this guy to be one of the highest owned players on the slate. That would be Dalvin Cook. Cook's at home against Atlanta. Atlanta defense really doesn't scare me. Minnesota upgraded their O-line, and everything out of Minnesota's mouth and, you know, Mike Zimmer, Kevin Stefanski, they want to run the ball this season. They really don't care that they have one of the best receiving tandems in the whole entire league in Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. They're going to try to keep the passing attempts to a minimum. And if they have a healthy Cook, he's going to be getting so much work. Receiving, running, you name it, goal line, he'll be on the field. I think you kind of, you know, he's kind of a plug and play this week, if you ask me. But, you know, just a little bit below those guys, we have Chris Carson. Love Carson here at home against Cincinnati. Guys, Cincinnati really is, you know, no worry here, I think. Carson, like I said, 5,700 here. Last year, we saw Seattle be one of the run heaviest teams in the NFL. And I fully expect, you know, Carson has really taken a stranglehold on that backfield. Rashad Penny has showed us he really can't do too much here in the NFL. I don't really expect him to get much work, if at all. And there was also word out of Seattle's camp a week or two ago talking about how they want to get Carson a little bit more involved in the passing game. And that's, you know, music to our ears here when we're making our lineups. And probably as low as I'm going to go here, this week is Austin Eckler at 5,500. I think Eckler's a great bet to see double-digit points easily. He's going to get the passing work. He'll probably get the goal line work. I do, you know, it is a little worrisome that him and Jackson are going to be splitting work, but Eckler's been a point-per-touch monster, even with Melvin Gordon. So I have no problem using him in a home matchup against Indianapolis. A couple guys I did want to mention, just, you know, in case you really want to punt running back this week. A couple guys like Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida. I fully expect that to be an awesome backfield this season. It just really is going to depend on the week, kind of who the guy is. Word did come out that Breida was listed above Coleman on the depth chart, but I don't really buy that too much. I think Coleman's going to be kind of the featured guy in the early going here. Maybe that changes later in the season, but right now I fully expect Coleman to be the lead guy. And at 3,900, we also have Miles Sanders. Guys, Sanders has gotten really, really talked up if you pay attention at all to season long or dynasty. And I really think the Eagles are probably going to, you know, roll Washington this week. I don't think that's out of the question. And if that's the case, I think Sanders probably wouldn't be surprised if he sees 10 rushes, maybe a couple catches. I mean, I don't think that's out of the ballpark. You know, maybe he gets lucky, gets into the end zone one time. And if that's the case, he's a smash at 3,900. So just something a little keeping in mind if you're making a tournament lineup, a couple tournament lineups, you want to throw a Sanders share in there. I have no problem with that. All right, guys, moving on to wide receiver. All right. Top three guys, we have Odell at 8,100, Julio at 8,000. Guys, shout out to Julio on the big contract extension. He's, you know, they pulled up the Brinks truck for him, as they like to say. Mike Evans, questionable with an illness at 7,900. Definitely something to monitor leading up to game time. Apparently, it just has an illness. So I don't think it's anything physically, you know, that's really affecting him. That would affect his you know, like linger on in the later weeks. So, you know, I probably lean on the side of Evans playing here. And I think he's a solid option in the top tier. Godwin's going to be pretty popular. We'll hit on him in a second. But Evans, you know, obviously has the ceiling as well. It's really in that passing game, it's Evans, Howard, and Godwin, and that's it. And like we said, Tampa Bay is going to have to throw the ball. They have really no choice. Not super interested in a guy like Tyreek Hill here. If you are making some tournament lineups, Hill's obviously a great guy to have, has the ceiling. Tough matchup against Jacksonville. You know, he's going to get his targets, though, especially here. Amari Cooper, a little expensive for me at 7,000. Kind of has that lingering foot injury. He is cleared to go this week, but I think that might be something that could hamper him here in the early going. His teammate, a guy we'll hit on in a second here, Michael Gallup, is somebody I think is a little intriguing if you're looking to punt that position a little bit. And then, guys, here we get to the sweet spot again, starting with Kenny Galladay at 6,300. Guys, Galladay, he's a monster, but I just don't know if I trust Detroit so much. I'm really not sure how this game is going to go. I mean, it looks good on paper, I guess. That Arizona offense, I think, could be exciting. I know people are a little bit down on them now with their preseason showing, but I think they probably kept it pretty vanilla, just wanting to, you know, wait till the regular season to really unleash everything. But Galladay should see. I mean, I don't think it's out of the question that he sees at least 8 targets. But like I said, Detroit is just a hard team that really give you headaches there. I mean, it's Galladay, Marvin Jones, TJ Hockenson figures to be involved early as well. And then they just really, I would love to see them give Kerryon the full complement of work, but all their moves kind of suggest that they don't want to do that. I mean, they signed CJ Anderson. Just recently, they signed JD McKissick, who's known for his pass catching chops. So I don't really don't know what to figure Kerryon here. But Galladay, I'd probably say out of all the Lions options, is probably your safest bet. Right below him at 62, we have Chris Godwin. Guys, Godwin looks like he's primed for, you know, finally the breakout season we've been waiting for here. DeSean Jackson is gone. And, you know, it's really, like I said, him, Evans, and Howard that's going to be seeing all the targets this season. I think he's pretty close to a lock in cash. That San Fran Tampa Bay game looks like it's going to be fun. Right below him, we have Tyler Lockett at 6,000. Guys, Lockett, another guy primed, I think, for a nice, nice season. He moves into the top option now with Doug Baldwin gone. And outside of him and maybe DK Metcalf, the Seahawks don't really have too many options in that passing game. They really don't. I know they re-signed Jerron Brown. They had let him go, I believe, but they picked him back up. I mean, he's interesting as well. But like I said, guys, nobody really outside of Lockett who we've seen done damage, you know, in the NFL game. I like him a lot this week. My only concern him with is if Seattle gets up early, and I really expect them to roll Cincinnati, I think they're probably going to take their foot off the gas and just ride Carson. On the other side of that game, though, we have Tyler Boyd. Guys, Boyd, I don't know why he feels like he kind of gets a bad rap. AJ Green's out. Andy Dalton's at quarterback. He's 5,800. I don't really see what the problem is here. A lot of people like to, you know, poke holes in his game. But I think he's done fine. You know, he had a nice, nice season last year. He really came onto the scene, and I fully expect him to continue that, especially with Green out in the early going. And Cincinnati's going to have to pass. It's just that simple. Don't overthink that one. Guys, here we go, a little bit lower here to 5,500. Guys, DJ Moore was awesome in his rookie season. I fully expect him to take another leap here with his teammate Curtis Samuel. And I think that could get started right here against the Rams. Samuel does look like he's going to be pretty chalky from what I've seen and what I've looked at. He is only 4,200, but I don't think you can go wrong with Moore. Guys, right below him is Dante Pettis at 5,400. Another guy who's kind of had some negative reports coming out about him. You know, people really weren't sure. A lot of people were high on him before the reports came out, but after that, people really weren't sure what was going to happen. You know, end of the preseason now, it looks like Pettis is back up to his number one receiver slot. Looks like it's going to be him and Marquise Goodwin. And obviously George Kittle at tight end. A lot of people like Pettis. I'm probably not going to roll with him this week, but 5,400 in a game against Tampa Bay, I mean, not going to argue with you there if you want to play him. Guys, dropping down a little bit below 5,000, we have D.D. Westbrook. He's kind of the guy I've been pairing with my Foles teams that I've been experimenting with. In that dress rehearsal game we talked about with Fournette seeing three targets, Westbrook saw seven. He also had a touchdown. I mean, I know it feels a little bit recency biasy and all that stuff to kind of really focus in on those stats alone after just one preseason game. But I'm a little bit, like I said, I'm bullish on the Jaguars this year. Westbrook could make that leap for sure. There's just really limited options in the Jacksonville passing game. And if Foles and him develop a relationship early, I think he can have a great season for Jacksonville. And like we touched on earlier when I was talking about Amari, Michael Gallup only 4,300 here against the Giants. Guys, I think Gallup is another guy who really isn't being talked about enough. I think he's primed for a great second year in the NFL. He was solid last season. Didn't really, you know, get a full complement of work, I guess. Didn't really show out too much, but I think he's primed for a great, great year. And I think Dallas is a team that can really make some noise here. Right below him, we have Samuel at 4,200. Guys, I have no problem playing Samuel. You know, I'd say he's a pretty safe bet to get at least five targets. I mean, he's probably going to get more. It's probably going to be a bit of a shootout, I'm guessing. You know, Rams, Carolina, 4,200, you know, 5 to 7 targets. You know, that's kind of a no-brainer right there. All right, guys. I'm moving on to tight end. guys, we did talk about how the loose pricing is this week, you know, with it being week one, everybody's kind of in play no matter what. And we did say, you know, we kind of like to pay down at quarterback, tight end, and defense, but, you know, this week you can kind of do whatever you want. With that said, you got Kelce and Kittle here at the top. Kelce's 7,100 in that game against Jacksonville. And then we got Kittle in that game against Tampa Bay at 66. Guys, I don't think you can go wrong with either guy. Usually, like I said, I advise against paying up for that tight end position just because it can be a little volatile. But Kelce and Kittle, I think, are clearly a cut above and can really be used as like that wide receiver one option in their offenses at times. Scrolling down a little bit here, we got Evan Engram at 4,800. Guys, Engram, they're going to have to really utilize him this season. He had like a bit of a quiet year last year. I think he battled some injuries, you know, but we've obviously seen what he can do, what he's capable of. And as long as Eli Manning is at the helm, I expect, you know, his average depth of target to be really close to the line of scrimmage. You know, that would be, you know, be wheels up for guys like Engram and Barkley. Henry down here at 3,900, you know, coming off that ACL tear, I fully expect him to be a popular play, I think. You know, maybe in like the 15 to 20% range. Maybe I'm lowballing, maybe I'm highballing, I don't know. But I think that's a pretty safe bet. You know, Tyrell Williams avoids a lot of targets. Now they're going to be operating without Melvin Gordon as well. He's another bunch of targets that you got to account for. And, you know, I think Henry could probably see at least six here. I think that's a pretty fair estimation. And, you know, at 3,900, no problem with that. Guys, one guy I want to touch on here real quick. Jordan Reed has officially been declared out for tomorrow's games. And if you really, really want to play the bargain barrel game here, I think Vernon Davis is a solid side option at 2,700. I mean, that's just way too cheap. Davis has had a role even when Reed has been on the field, so I fully expect him really do the heavy lifting here. And the Redskins really have almost nobody in that receiving corps. I'm excited to see what McLaurin can do. You know, a lot of people like Trey Quinn as well, but I'm really not sure how they're going to beat this Philadelphia team tomorrow. With that said, you know, they should be passing the ball a lot if they're down. And I think Davis is fine. Davis could easily get you 10 at 2,700. That's a smash. All right, guys. And before we end here, we are going to hit on a couple defense plays. The Ravens at 3,800 are the top price defense. They travel to Miami to face that mess of a team right now. They're clearly in tank mode. I don't really think, you know, they're kind of just seeing what they have and hoping they get the number one pick. Right below them, we have the Eagles at 3,600. I think they're firmly in play if you want to pay up for defense, especially this week. I think it's fine to pay up for defense. Won't advise against it. But, you know, the pricing is loose. You can kind of do whatever you want. Guys, also down here at 3,000, I like the Chargers at home against Indianapolis. Obviously, you know, Andrew Luck has retired, which will leave Jacoby Brissett to do, you know, the heavy lifting under center for the Chargers, or my bad, the Colts. You know, I think Brissett probably will end up being a fine quarterback for the Colts. As the season goes on, I don't really think he's as bad or, you know, as mediocre as people might think. I think he can actually be something in that Colts offense. But I don't expect it to happen right away. You know, I think the Chargers can probably, you know, give him some fits early on. And at 3,000, I have no problem using them. Guys, one other defense I'd kind of been looking at as kind of a true punt option here all the way down near the bottom. We have the Carolina Panthers. Like I said, you know, Carolina home matchup against the Rams. Rams maybe have a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. People aren't really sure, you know, what's going on with Todd Gurley. Is he done? Is he not done? McVay did come out and say that Gurley won't be on a play count. You know, that could mean a bunch of things. That could mean, you know, I don't know. I just don't see any way that he sees the same workload that he did last year. There's just no way. I mean, they gave Malcolm Brown his backup. They kind of held him out all preseason. They gave him money prior to last season or prior to this season. They also drafted Darrell Henderson. I mean, everything just points to, you know, Todd Gurley not being the same player that he was last year. I also am not sure I trust Jared Goff here on the road in Carolina. You know, that offensive line kind of shuffled around. No more Roger Saffold for them. And, you know, that was one of their biggest strengths last year. That is why they were one of the best teams in the league. And maybe they have some growing pains in the early going as they try to figure some things out. And, you know, guys, at 2,100, what do the Panthers really need to do to hit value? If they end up with 5 points or 6 points, I really, I'm taking that to the bank. That's great at 2,100. I'm totally fine with that. They could also get you zero, but it's worth realizing what that can do for the rest of your lineup. That could probably get you up to Jameis and Kelsey if you don't feel like paying down for Foles. So I think Panthers definitely worth some consideration here. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this little podcast here. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoy week one. As always, it's going to be good to be back watching the games. Check out our website at reynoldsroto.com. Like I said, be on the lookout for my brother's FanDuel video coming out later tonight. He's putting the finishing touches on that right now. And be on the lookout for a little something for the primetime slate. Tomorrow we have, obviously, the Sunday night game. We have Steelers and Patriots, and then we have the Monday night week one doubleheader, which is always fun. We've got Oakland and the Broncos, and then we have it's on the tip of my tongue. Yeah, that's who it is. Okay, Raiders, Broncos, and then we got Texans at the Saints, which should be a fun one. Guys, like I said, hope you enjoyed it. Give us a listen and give us a follow for this NFL season. Be on the lookout for more content. Have a good one.